So last thing that we did here was on Lamed Ches Amud Aleph. So Shachak Kedera, we spoke about a person who inadvertently left an open, he left his food in a pot on an open fire in Erev Shabbos, so cooked on Shabbos. And we had a shita of Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, and the question was whether or not he's allowed to eat the food. And originally this question was posed to Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, and although initially he didn't have an answer, but he came back the next day with an answer, and he said that just like it says that if a person cooks on Shabbos b'shogeg, he's allowed to eat it, the same halacha applies here in the case of Shachach. What does it mean the same halacha applies here? So Rabbi and Rav Yosef said that here too, like the case of someone who cooked on Shabbos b'shogeg, so too someone who left a pot on the fire on Erev Shabbos b'shogeg, you're allowed to eat the food. That was the interpretation of Rabba and Rav Yosef. And the reason is because, if you recall, we said that in the case of Shahir, when he leaves his pot on an open fire, he does not do an act of Bishul. And now, what we're going to say is the following. That Loshna, Rav Chiya Bar Abba, when he came back the second round and he gave his final answer, he said Lo Shna. So Rabbi Rav Yosef say Lo Shna means that even in a case of Mezid, where he deliberately violated the Gzeres Chachamim and he left his food on an open fire on Erev Shabbos, even though he did it deliberately, we can eat this food. Why? Because it's not the same as a mavashel b'mezid, where he does an action. Here he doesn't do an action. That's the opinion of Rabba and Rav Yosef. So what we're up to, which we started yesterday, is Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Omar Li'isura. Okay then? So that means that Loshna means that even in the case of Shogeg, he left his food on an open fire on Erev Shabbos b'shogeg, inadvertently. Nevertheless, we are going to say he's not allowed to eat the food. And here's where Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak introduces a concept called Asi Le'arume. In a case of Mavashel, we're not afraid that if we're more lenient in a case of Shogeg, he might come to do it b'mezid. I mean, we're not talking about violators of Chil Shabbos, deliberate violators. And therefore, we can make this distinction between b'shogeg, where he cooked inadvertently, unintentionally, as opposed to mezid. But in the case of Shehiyah, on Erev Shabbos, there, osi larume. In other words, if we tell him that in a case of shogeg, he's permitted to eat the food, then he's going to come to actually violate this Isur Shehiyah b'mezid, and he'll fool us. And he'll claim, well, I only did it b'shogeg. So we can't give him that loophole for a shogeg situation. So now we're up to Mesveh. The Gemara now is going to ask Akasha from a Braisa on Rabba and Rav Yosef. The Braisa says, Shochach Kedera al Gabi Kira. So we're talking about a case of Shehiya Bishogeg Ubishla Bishabis. And a result, the food was cooked on Shabbos. It says, Bishogeg Yochal Bemezid Lo Yochal. So the Braisa now emphasizes and accepts the distinction between a shogeg situation and a mezid situation. And in both cases, the same din applies. And it would seem like the same din of Li'isura. Whereas if you remember, Rabbi and Rav Yosef said, Travai Le'atera, meaning even in the case of Mezid, you're allowed to eat the food. Here it seems to be differentiating between Shogig and Mezid. Then the Brisa continues. When are we going to say that the food is asur? In a case of mezid lo yochal, that's in a case where the food actually cooked on Shabbos. So what did he leave on the open fire on Erev Shabbos? He left, room temperature water. Or he left a food, a solid food that was half cooked. Avol bechamin shehuchmu called sarkon. V'tavshil shebishel called sarkon. If that which he left on the fire on Erev Shabbos was fully cooked, for example, in case of liquids, it reached Yad Soletispo, or in the case of solids, it's called sarko, it's completely cooked, is then, the Brisa says, Bein b'shogeg, Bein b'mezid, Yochal, Divrei, Rabbi Meir. Then it doesn't make any difference whether he left it there deliberately or unintentionally. In both cases, you're allowed to eat, and perhaps the logic of Rabbi Meir is because this bishul did not really, the bishul that took place on Shabbos did not really create it's not a real bishul. Do you follow what I mean? It's not a real bishul. So that's Rabbi Meir. Then we get to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, Chamin shehuchmu called sarkon mutarim. He says here we can make a difference between liquid and solid. In the case of liquid, then since it was fully heated when you went into Shabbos, we don't mind that you drink it on Shabbos. Why? What happens is that if you leave liquids on an open fire, eventually it evaporates. So that's called mitztamik viralo. This is a negative impact of the hemsheich habishul. However, tavshil shel bishul called sarko osur. Mipneshim mitztamik viyofalo. If he leaves it on the fire, even though it was fully cooked, nevertheless it improves, because we said that the expert chefs, the gourmet chefs, will continue cooking even when it's at the point where it's mitztamek, you know, it shrivels up. Kol mitztamek v'yofalo kigon kruv upulin ubasa taruf osu b'kol mitztamek v'ralo mut. So Rabbi Yehuda gives a number of examples here of food which, if you leave it on the fire even beyond its state of cooking, it's absolutely edible, but the Hemshech HaBishul improves it. That's called Mitztamek V'yofalo. He gives the examples of certain kinds of cabbages and perhaps legumes and minced meat. And these are meats that you leave it longer and longer, it continues to cook and to improve. So the Gemara now is going to ask a kasha on Rabba and Rav Yosef based on this brisa. Kitani Mia, what we see clearly from this brisa is that Tavshil Shalo Bishal called Sarko, that if the food was not completely cooked on Erev Shabbos, and nevertheless, it all depends upon Mezid and Shogeg, correct? It all depends upon Mezid and Shogeg. So in a case of Mezid, then you're not allowed to eat this food because it wasn't fully cooked on Erev Shabbos. Right? So again, according to this brisa, let me just go over the cheshbon here. If the food wasn't completely cooked, if it was a case, that's it. In the case of shogeg, the only situation in which we allowed it, so let's say if we go back to Rabbi Meir, for example, it says, "Bamedvar amurim b'chamin shelo huchmi kol tzarko m'tavsh shelo bishol kol tzarko." And then in the case of shogeg, will be matir. But that's only in the case of shogeg. But in the case of mezid, since it wasn't completely cooked, and the cooking took place on Shabbos, and he deliberately left it on the kira, which was an eino garf eino katuv, you're not allowed to eat that food. He says, Bishleim l'Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak lo kasha. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak was the one who said that Shavayli Isura. And we're going to be machmir even in the case of shogeg. Then we can understand this brisa. And how is so? Kan kodem gzera, kan liacher gzera, right? We were afraid that if we allow him to eat in the case of shogeg, then he'll eventually violate this isur shehiya even b'mezid. But that's, you know, that's at some point in the sequence of history. You know, when we realized people were fooling us. They were telling us that they were shogeg when really they were mezid. But initially, we would be mekil in the case of shogeg. And that's exactly what we saw here in this brisa, that only in the case of mezid are we going to be machmir, but not in the case of shogeg. Ela, Rabba, Rav Yosef, Yamri, Le, Tera. And this doesn't seem to be a question of history, but it's a question of a violation of Shehiya as an Isik Zerah Derabbanon. And we said that in both cases of Shogeg and Mezid, you're allowed to eat the food. So, I kodem Gzera Kasha Mezid, the Iliach Gzera Kasha Nami Shogeg. So, We said here in this brisa that mezid is asur according to Rabba and Rav Yosef. Even mezid is mutter. That's what the Gemara calls kodem gzera. Now liachar gzera, which might imply that we should be machmir even in the case of shogeg, is kashinami shogeg, because according to Rabba and Rav Yosef, certainly in the case of shogeg, everything is mutter. And the Gemara says, kasha. We don't have a way of reconciling this brisa with Rabba and Rav Yosef. This distinction between shogeg and mezid cannot be understood, cannot be justified, according to Rabba and Rav Yosef. My gzerta, the Gemara says, why did they make this gzera? And we were worried about Shehiya b'mezid, and he'll tell us that he was shoeh b'shogeg. And the Gemara answers, the Omer Rabbi Yehuda bar Shmuel, Omer Rabbi Abba, Omer Rav Kan, Omer Rav, b'tchilo hayu omrim, hamavashel b'shabes b'shogeg yochal, u'b'mezid lo yochal. So initially we had this fundamental distinction between mezid and shogeg. But what happened, right, vahu adin b'shocheach, and the same din should apply in the case of shehiya on Erev Shabbos, in an eino garf eino katu, that we could be mekil in a case of shogeg, which is called shocheach. But misha rabu mashim b'mezid v'yom shechechim anu, people started violating this gzera of shehiya, and there was no knas, right? There was no punishment for this. We didn't prohibit the food because we assumed that he was a shogeg, but in truth, he was amazing. But he would claim I was a shogeg. Is therefore kansu chazu v'kansu al shocheach. they decided that they would impose a kind of knas, a penalty, even on someone who is a shocheach. So that even if we know for sure, and he knows for sure, that he did it inadvertently, we're still not going to let him eat from the food, because of Misharabu Amashim Bemezit, the Omrim Shechem Anon. And this whole discussion here seems to reflect the Shita of Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Because according to Rabbi and Rav Yosef, it would seem that even in the case of Shia Bemezit, it's Mutter. Okay. Now we go back to the previous braisa so that records the machlok stream Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. And the Gemara is going to compare that braisa to another braisa. Kasha de Rabbi Meir, ad Rabbi Meir, Kasha de Rabbi Yehuda, ad Rabbi Yehuda. We have two different braisos, and let's compare them. And we'll find what seems to be contradictions both in Rabbi Meir and in Rabbi Yehuda. Now here the Gemara is referring back to the braisa that was quoted on Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph. And in this braisa, the braisa that we're learning now, Rabbi Meir was matir as long as the food was cooked before Shabbos, even though you left it on a kira she'eino garf eino kotum. Whereas in the previous braisa, Rabbi Meir was machmir, and he was machalik. He differentiated between chamin and tavshil, and he said that we could be mekel on chamin. So let's say he left water on an open fire, even though he shouldn't have done so. But with regard to tavshil, cooked food, he was machmir. Now, that's as far as Rabbi Meir is concerned. Now, if we take Rabbi Yehuda, we also have a stira. Because Rabbi Yehuda is saying now that even if something, the food was fully cooked, and you left it on a kira, it's asur. If it's mitzamek v'yofalo. But in the earlier braisa, he said that once it reaches called tsarko, mavusha called tsarko, then you're allowed to leave it on the open fire. So Gemara says, the Rabbi Meir, the Rabbi Meir lo kasha. Ho lechatchila, ha b'dievet. So when Rabbi Meir in the first braisa, back on Daf Lamed Zayin, he said that in a case of an Eino Garuf and an Eino Katum, he said it's Asur, that's the Chatchila. But to the Eved, he would allow you to eat it post facto if you left it on the open fire. So let's talk about Chamin and Tavshil. So in the first braisa, he was only mekil b'dieved in the case of chamin, but not in the case of tavshil. Here he's being mekil even in the case of tavshil, and that's a case of b'dieved. And Rabbi Yehuda, nami lo kasha, kan begruf of a ktuma, kan b'she'eno gruf of ktuma. So in the first braisa, when Rabbi Yud is talking about a case of a garuf or a katum, then he was mekel. But in this braisa, where he is machmir, even if it's nispashal called tsarko, as long as it's mitzamek v'yofalo, he's machmir because it's a case of an ena grufa v'ena ktuma. Iboilahu. The Gemara has a suffix. Ovar v'shah mai. In the case of someone who deliberately violated the Isur Shehiyah, and he left his pot on an open fire on Erev Shabbos. Mikon tzu rabbonon olo. Is there a knas or is there not a knas? Now this is a little bit strange because we already had the brisa that recorded a machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Meir, if the tavsha was low in a special called sarko, then it's also on Shabbos. And Rabbi Yehuda went a step further and he said, even if it was in a special called sarko, it's also on Shabbos. So what's the point here? The Gemara asking, Mikon Sua Rabbanan Olo. Everybody accepts the knas. So in the footnote here, he quotes the Ritva, who says that we're dealing with a case of a mezid. It's an eno garfi eno kotum, and it's mitztamek v'yofalo. But what happened? He took it off the fire on Shabbos, and it didn't get to the point yet of mitztamek v'yofalo. So the question is, in the original knas that the Rabbanon imposed upon a person who left food on an Eino Garof and Eino Kotum, does the knas depend upon whether or not he achieved his goal and his violation created such a repercussion, such an impact, that the food reached its final stage of mitztamek v'yofalo? Or do they impose this knas simply because he violated the Isur of Shehiyah? And that per se is enough to engender a knas. So the Gemara says, Toshma, the Omar Shmuel Bar Noson, Omar Rebbe Chanina, Kishaholach Rebbe Yosei, Rabbi Yossi Litzipori, Motza Chamin Shenishtau Al Gabe Kira, Velo Osolahem. So there was a case in which they left food on top of the Kira, which was not Garuf or Kotum, and he seemed to imply, Rabbi Yossi seemed to imply that they're allowed to eat it. Beitzim Mitzumakos Shenishtau Al Gabe Kira. There were eggs that had been left on top of the kira, the asolahem, and he did not allow them to eat the eggs. So the Gemara reasons, my love, li osa Shabbos. Doesn't it mean that as far as these beitzim mitzumakos, Shmuel prohibited them on that very Shabbos? The Gemara says, Lo l'Shabbos haba'a. Now, I'm not sure why Shabbos haba'a should be any different. Let's see Rashi, about seven lines up from the bottom. Osolem achshav, shelo lasos kein, l'Shabbos haba'a. Aval achila v'achila sharu. So in other words, he was warning them that if they do the same thing next week, it'll be awesome. He writes the following. With Shabbos Haba. So we're talking about Rabbi Yossi. And he says, Lo Osram Rabbi Yossi Bachila. El Shabbos Haba Klomar. Limeid osam as dine shehiya, viz hero sam shalo yasu kain shuv bishabis acheres, avo bachila yitochen shemutarin. So he's saying the following, that although this is a case of avar vishiha, which was our original suffix, and the question is, what is going to be the status of the food, b'dieved? And here we see that Rabbi Yossi said it was asur. Again, I'm not sure if Rabbi Yossi said it was Asur in the Havamina of the Gemara because it reached this stage of Mitztamek V'yofalo. Let's assume that the Gemara named on that, yeah, we're talking about a case of Mitztamek V'yofalo. So now the Gemara reinterprets Rabbi Yossi. L'shona ba. No, it's L'shavas ha-ba. No, it's Rabbi Yossi did not tell them that they're absolutely not allowed to eat these eggs that were cooked, but he warned them that they shouldn't be doing such a thing.
I'll do it again.
Right. In other words, he was teaching them the halachas, the basic halachas of Shehiyah, and he was telling them that Shehiyah is also in a case of Mitztamek V'yofalo. But we don't have any clear-cut answer to our original question about Ovar V'shah, whether the machal is mutar or it's asur. That's what we have here. And the Gemara now says the following. Michlal, from the fact that Rabbi Yossi told them that they shouldn't be doing this, it seems, and that's what the Gemara is asking, that beitzim mitzumakos mitztamkos v'yofal endinu, that if the eggs continue to cook, that improves the eggs. In other words, if it would have been a case of mitztamek v'ralo, he wouldn't have told them that it's also. So Gemara says, that's exactly right. Kid Omar, Rav Chama Bar Chanina, Pamachas Nisarachti, Ani v'Rebi, Lemokom Echad. So we were together in a certain place during the weekday. Ve'heviu lefanenu beitzim mitzumakos. They gave us eggs that were kind of shriveling up, and they became very thin. Ki'uzradin, some sort of a fruit. And ve'achalu mihem harbe. And we ate them with great relish, you know, abundance of them. So it seems that in Chinami there's something in eggs that really, even though it's shriveled up, they're improved, even when they shrivel further with the continuation of the bishul. And he says here that the English translation of urazadin, of Uzradin, are sorb apples. And apparently these apples are very shriveled up. And yet, achalnu mehen harbe, we ate a lot of them. So since Rav Chama had stated that he and Rebbe ate many of these tiny eggs, it's obviously that they were quite tasty. And this demonstrates that shriveled eggs continue to improve even as they condense in their form, even as they get shriveled. Okay, now we're up to Beis Hillel Omrim Af Machzirin. Omer Av Sheshes. And now we're going to turn to Lamed Chesam Beis. L'divrei Omer Machzirin. According to Beis Hillel, who allow you to put something back on Akira, Afilu B'Shabbos. This means even on the Shabbos day itself. So in other words, not only did Beis Hillel allow you to put it back on the Kira where it was taken off on Friday night, and it means that he took it off so early, but clearly his intention was to put it back on Shabbos, but even in a case when it was taken off on Shabbos and it's not clear whether his intention when he took it off is that he's going to put it back on, nevertheless it's mutter. Even though, again, when he took it off on Shabbos, we had no idea that he was going to put it back on Shabbos. Nevertheless, it's allowed. Again, only if it's a garfakatu. The Omar Rav Yoshia, Pam Achas Hayinu Omdim Li Eila Mi Rav Chia Rabba. We were standing above Rav Chia the Great. Ve'alenu lo kumkumus shel chamin, right, a kettle of hot water, midiota tachtona liyota elyona, we took it from the lower floor up to the higher floor, he was up on top, umazagnu lo esakos, and we poured him hot water. And what do we do after we pour him the hot water? We came down again, v'chzarnu limkomo, we put it back on the kira, v'lo omar lanu davar. And Rabbi Chiya Rabba didn't say a word. So the fact that he didn't object implies that this was mutter, and you're allowed to put food back on the kira, even on Shabbos itself. So that's the Gemara here on the top of Lamed Ches Amud Beis. He says, Afilu b'Shabbos, Af sha'oz eno nikar kol kach mi maisav, she'b'shah she'isira, when he took it off the kira, haya b'dayto la'atzira, eno omrim she'mutu la'achzit rak she'noto osa b'lel Shabbos, she'nikar maisav, she'b'shah she'isira, haya b'dayto la'atzira. But even if he took it off on Shabbos itself. Now, we have a machlokas in our Mishnah between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel about Chazorah on Erev Shabbos before nightfall. And on Erev Shabbos, where, let's say if he would have had a cold pot of food, he wouldn't have enough time to heat it up in Bojom, or you're allowed to put it back onto the Imachzirin Biosa Shas HaKedera Lakira. And the question was, according to Tosis back on Daf Lamed Vav in Beis, I don't know if we got a chance to learn this Tosis, but he wants to know whether or not this is called Chazora or called Shehiyah. On the one hand, it's Erev Shabbos. On the other hand, there's not enough time for the Kedera to heat up before Shabbos. And Beit Shammai hold that there's an Iser Chazora even with regard to liquids, Chamin, which normally you'd have an Iser Shehiyah, but here it's called Chazora because it's right before Shabbos. Now, Beis Hillel allow you to put it back on Erev Shabbos, but only if it's a Goruf and a Kotum. Lomari says, Af im mishum shehia hayamutar, af kishe eno grufa, kigon l'shitas chananya ben ispashal kemaychal ben josoy, l'shitas rabbonin ispashal called sarko. He says, "B'divrei Rav u'Shmuel, mikomako mishoshaloya efshal articha osulachzira al sheinu goruf mishum iser chazora." Valkein Mosif Rav Sheshes Kan sheleshitas Beis Hillel logak be'erev Shabbos mutar lahachzir lekira grufa el afilu b'Shabbos atzma mutar. Ubitam shechazor asur be'erev Shabbos mipnei lefi shema shemachzir sakedera al hakira hu mipnei shenitztanina al kein yesh lachsho shemi yechata b'Shabbos. So here he goes through a sort of like an overview of the various different dinim. Omar Rav Zrika, Omar Rava, Omar Rav Tidai, Lo Shanu Ella, She'odon Biyado. Ah, we shouldn't think that this permission, this heta that we have here from Rav Sheshes and from Rav Oshaya applies absolutely, unconditionally. No. It's only Biyodon Biyado. So we have a heter chazara, and we saw it in the case of Rav Oshia,
and Rav Chiya Rabba, that whole story. But now the Gemara is qualifying. You want to put something back onto a grufa and a ketuma on Shabbos, make sure that when you took it off, you didn't put it down. Omer Avi Ami, Rabbi Tadai, the Ovad, Legarmehu the Ovad. In other words, this whole raw that we have from Rav Tadai is Liatzmo, as if to say he's the only one who holds that way. But this is not the way we understand Rabbi Chiya. That was Rav Tadai's version of Rabbi Chiya. But our version, says Rav Ami, is Hachi Omer Rabbi Chiya Omer Rabbi Yochanan Afilu Inicha Gabi Karka Mutalat Zero. We don't need that it should be Odom Biyodo. Even if he put it on the Karka, he's allowed to put it back onto the Kira. Again, if it's a Gar for Kotum. Is Pligi Bar Rav Dimi Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda Travayu Mishmeid Rabbi Lazar Amri? So both of them are quoting Rabbi Eliezer, but they have a machlokes exactly where Rabbi Lazar transmitted. Chad Amar Odom Biyodom Mutar Al Gabi Karka Osim Chad Amar Inich Al Gabi Karka Nami Mutar. Two versions. According to the first version, L'chumra, you're allowed to put it back on to the Kira, that's Gara for Kotm, only if you're still holding on to it. Once you left, you put it down on Karka. I remember the contemporary poskim want to know, what if you put it on Shayish, you know, is that called Karka or not? But V'chad Omer Inichal Gabi Karka Nami Mutu. Omer Abchia Mishmeid Abaye Hodi Amrit Biodom Biodom Mutter. Even if you go L'chumra and you say you're only allowed to put it back onto the Kira in a case of Odom Biyodo, but then since it's Odom Biyodo, you're allowed to put it on the Kira. Lo Amoran Ela Daito Lahachzir. So that when we say that Odom Biyodo, we're allowing you to put it back on the Kira, that's because you had das to put it back on the Kira. Aval ein daito lahachzir, if he took it off the Kira and he had no intention to put it back onto the Kira, even though it's odom biyado, it's also, you're not allowed to put it back onto the Kira. So this is the opinion of Chizkiya Mishmeid Abaye, and it's a big chumrah because we're saying that Daita L'Achzir is not enough, even though it's Odom Biyado. I'm sorry. I meant to say the other way around. Even if you have the condition of Odom Biyado, we need another condition. It's got to be Daita L'Achzir. Now the Gemara is Medayik. Michlal, we could see from Abaye, Rav Chizkiya, is the Al Gabi Karka, is Afagav the Daito Lachzir also. You know, he needs two conditions. It's got to be Odom Biyodo, and it's got to be Daito Lachzir. If he puts on the Karka, even if it's Daito Lachzir, it's also. Ika the Amri, now the Gemara has a different formulation of Abaye, a different tradition. Omar Chizkiya Mishmeid Abaye Hodi Amoran Al Gabi Karka Osur Lo Amoran Elik Shein Daito Lachzor Aval Daito Lachzor Mutter Michlal Sheba Odom Biyodo Afal Pishein Daito Lachzor Mutter. So he's got now two conditions Lekula. Any one of these two conditions, if they're met, will allow you to put it back onto the Kira. Condition number one is it was Daito Lachzor. Condition number two is Odom Biyodo. So if it was, let's say, Inichan al Gabi Karka v'Daito L'Hachzir, or it was Odom Biyodo v'Ein Daito L'Hachzir, he's allowed to put it back onto the queue. And now we go on to another part of this sugya. And that is Boy Rav Yirmiyah. Now I just wonder if this is going to end in a teku. Yeah? How do you like that? Whenever I see Bay Rav Yirmiyah, I always assume it's going to end up in a teiku. I mean, that's since I was in fourth grade when I learned Eilu Metzias. You remember Kabayim v'Shmon Amos and all that stuff. His boy Rav Yirmiyah Tlon v'Makel Mahu. He nichon al gabi mita mahu. He didn't put the karka, he didn't put the pot of food on the karka. He's holding it somewhere with a stick. Again, it's not in his hands. Or he puts it down on a shelf, on a mita. But he didn't put it down on the ground. Shall we say that since it's not odin v'yado, then it's aser? Or should we say that since he didn't put it on the karka, if it's mutter? That's one suffix. I mean, a twofold suffix of Rav Yirmiyah. By Rav Ashi has another scenario of a suffix. Pinon mi mechon le mechon. He takes it out of one kettle and he pours it into another kettle. Mahu, what's the din? Is he allowed to put the second kettle back on the fire? On the, I should say, the garfakotum. Well, do we say no? This really has a din of chazor mitchila, because it's not the same kettle. Is teiku? The Gemara has no answer to any of these. No final decision on any of these questions. He says here that he transferred the hot water that he had removed from the Kira from one kettle to another. Is he allowed to return the water in the Kira to the Kira from the new kettle? With the new kettle? Or is this like a new act of Chazara? Right. So Gemara says, Teiku. Alright, let's see if we can at least get through the Mishnah. So again, in the previous Mishnah, we set forth the laws of the Kira as far as Shiyah and Chazara is concerned. Now we're going to talk not about a Kira, but about a Tanur and a Kupach. Now these kinds of stoves, there's not much airspace here, so it really retains the heat. And it's very intense. Tanur, which again has a greater heat than a Kira, Shisikua b'kash u'b'gvava. Now, until now, we said that kash and gvava are so flammable that we don't have any problem. We don't have to worry about shemichata. But now, we're talking about a tanur. It's lo yitain. Bein mitocho ubein me'algaba. Okay, now what does it mean lo yitain? Once again, do we go back to the original suffix of the Gemara about what lo yitain means at the very beginning of this parak? So he says that bir lo yitain toli b'suffix shal Gemara liel parak shekivan lufi atzad shu v'sham. Now we're going to apply the principle of Chizkiah here, of Chananya here. But lefi atzad shebimishlel shepirush lo yitein ulo yishe, gam kan kach uperusho. The gam lahashos osur b'tanur. Now we have kupach. Kupach is very similar to a kira, but is not enough for two different pots, but rather is only enough for one pot. So there's a lot less airspace that enters into the kira. So the heat in the kupach is more intense than that of a kira. Sheisikua bekash ubegvava. Once again, he's using this very light, flammable stuff. Hareza kikiraya, and has the same din as a kira. And therefore, you'd be allowed to put food inside this kupach. That's in a case of hisikua bekash ubegvav, but begefes ve'etzim is the real shemichata material, hareu kitanur. So the Gemara asks, is it mutter to do smicha in the case of a tanur? Tanur shisikua bekash ubegvav, lo yitem be'mesoch me'me al gabev, so Rav Yosef le'meimar, mitocho Tocho mamish, al gabov mamish, avolismoch shapir domi. So the Gemara is assuming that in the case of akira, a smicha would be mutter, and now the Gemara wants to know: could we extend and apply that heter of smicha even to the case of a tanur and shapir domi, lismoch shapir domi? We definitely allowed, according to Rav Yosef, to do smicha in a tanur. Esve, Abai says to Rav Yosef, I don't get it. It says in the Mishnah that kupach shesikua bekashu begvav areyu kikirayim, begefes uve'etzim areyu kitanur v'yasur. What's going on now? The din of a kupach seems to be identical with that of a tanur, no? Dino kidin tanur. And the Mishnah equates kupach with a tanur. Hakikira shart. In other words, theoretically, if the din of a kupach was equivalent to that of a kira, then everything would be mutter. The mayaskina, ilay malgabov. If we're going to say that the case is algabov shel kupach mamish, he puts the kedera on top of the kupach, ubemai. And when is it asur? In the case of a kupach in our Mishnah, ilema, it's a case of an enogar of a katum. Is why did the Mishnah have to bother comparing it to a tanur? Kira keino grufa ketuma agav mishari. Even in the case of a kira, it would be awesome if it's an eino garf eino katum. El alav, by process of elimination, we have to assume that we're talking not about putting it al gab of mamish, but rather lismoch uketani. And in this particular case, it says in the Mishnah reu ketanur be awesome. So you see that even a kupach is also lismoch. And certainly, in the case of a tanur, it's also lismo. Whereas Rav Yosef had said that tocho means it's tocho mamish, but lismo is shapir domi. Omar Avada Barava, the Gemara now rejects this proof. The Mishnah is not talking about an eno garf eno katu, as far as smicha is concerned, hocha bekuta bekupach garf ekatana grufa ketuma askinon. And we're talking about anoch al gab of mamish. So what is the Mishnah telling me? Kupach shesikua begefes v'eitzim harehu ketanur. The afa gab de garf ekatum al gab of osur. So the kupach in the case of Gefes V'Eitzim has the same status as the tanur, and therefore it's asur to put al gabov, and that's even in the case of Garf Katum. In other words, just like We said that Grufa Ketuba is what? Is Harei Ketanur V'Asur. And if Grufa Ketuba doesn't work for a Tanur, then it doesn't work for a Kupa. If it was Hisikua B'Gefes V'Yetzin. So now we understand, why did the Mishnah have to give me this equation between Kupach and Tanur? The Ike Kira, because if you would have given the din of, if you would have taken Kira, Kupach and given it a din of Kira, then Ki Grufa Ketuma Shapir Dami, it would be mutter to put a Kedera on top of this Kupach. So the Mishnah is not talking at all about Smicha. That's what it comes out. So let's stop here. Tanya Kavose De Abaye. And we'll pick this up in Mitzvah Shem next week.